Good afternoon. As Tim said, my name is Winston Hodum, and you know, it's difficult to get up and speak after an introduction like that. Called me a great preacher. Well, I don't know about that, but we're going to do what we can do. Said I have a defining lecture in this series, literally. Said I'm to define the three words. You know, he has them: love, honor, and respect. But I changed the order. I'm going with respect, love, and honor. Because in most cases, that's the way they develop. It's a progression most of the time. My mom asked me about that when she saw that how I had my lecture set up. She said, well, that's not the way they had it. I said, well, I know, but that's the way I'm doing it. I said, when you think about it, when a young man meets a young lady, the first thing that develops is respect. And then as that respect grows, it develops into love. And as that love and respect both grow together, he gets to the point where he wants to honor her. And what usually follows is a proposal and often a marriage. And we see the same thing as we raise our children or as we learn about God's Word. The first thing to develop is respect for it. And then the next thing that follows is a love for it. And then we want to honor Him and honor His Word. And that results in a baptism, a conversion, and a continuance of the respect, love, and honor growth. Okay, we're going to start off with respect. Definition. The definitions I'm using today are all from the American Heritage Dictionary of the English language. It says, for respect, feel or show esteem for, to honor, to show consideration for, avoid violation of, treat with deference, a willingness to show consideration, a willingness to show appreciation. Now, there are a lot of verses in the Bible dealing with respect, and we're going to look at some of those. Genesis 4, verses 4 and 5, we see both sides of that respect. Respect and not respect. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Well, Abel obviously followed the directions he had been given, did as the Lord wanted. Cain did not. He may have offered the wrong type of sacrifice, he may have offered it in the wrong way, or he may have just done it with the wrong attitude. But regardless, he did not do it as God wanted it done. And as a result, he did not have the Lord's respect because of that. Deuteronomy 16:19 says, thou shalt not wrest judgment. Thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift, for a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. We see laws today in our courts dealing with judges and people of that sort saying that they're not allowed to take gifts from people involved in the cases because that might sway their judgment. And just think, you know, this is all the way back in the early days of the Bible. Early days of the world. And we already see things that we're still having today. 2 Kings 13:23, and the Lord was gracious unto them and had compassion on them and had respected them because of his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and would not destroy them, neither cast he them from his presence as yet. He had respect unto the Jews or Israelites because of his promises or covenant that he had made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And as a result, he chose not to destroy them, even though they had lost their respect and were not following his commandments. 2 Chronicles 6:19, here we see a request for consideration of the Lord. Have respect, therefore, to the prayer of thy servant, and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee. Psalms 40:4 says, blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. By implication, That means that we respect those who are humble, not proud, and value those that value the truth. Psalm 74:20, have respect unto the covenant. That was the promise of God. We have a covenant with God, and we're to have respect for it too. Psalms 119:6, then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto thy commandments. Psalms 119:15, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Psalm 119:17, hold thou me up and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. These show esteem for his statutes, or a desire to avoid violation of them. Lamentations 4:16, the anger of the Lord hath divided them. He will no more regard them. They respected not the persons of the priest. They favored not the elders. We see that when we do not treat with deference those that God has designated for respect, that he will lose his regard or respect for them. Hebrews 11:26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. This is talking about Moses. The fact that he appreciated the payment of that reward that was to come. James 2, verse 3 and verse 9. This talks about respect of those with wealth and status versus the respect of those without wealth and status. And ye have respect to him that weareth the gate clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in my good place, and say to the poor, those without the wealth and status, stand thou there or sit here under my footstool. But if, and in verse 9, he goes on to say, but if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. So, we see that God respects those who do his will, but he has no respect for those who do not do his will. And we see that as a judge, he respects the law and not the person. Just the fact that we have a lot, might have a lot of money and a high status or a position of authority and power, it doesn't mean anything to him when it comes to judgment. He's going to go by the law, and that's it. He's not going to be a respecter of persons. Man is to respect God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Because if you respect God, then you're respecting Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Because you respect one, you respect all. Man is to respect his fellow Christians. Hold them in esteem, regard. We're to respect our leaders, the leaders of other nations. Now, we have a president right now that a lot of people have grave misgivings about. Had them before he was elected. Still have them. But he was elected, and he is our president. And as a result of him being our president, he deserves respect because of that position that he holds. Not only does he deserve it, but we're commanded in the Bible to give that respect. Not just to him, but to the leaders of all nations. Which means that, as strange as it may sound, we are to respect the Pope, because Vatican City is considered a principality, actually a nation or country unto itself. And since he is the leader of that principality or nation, we are to give him respect according to that. Now, there are other things, areas where we are not to give him respect. But in that area, we are to give him respect. In fact, we're to respect all people. And then that means that in matters of judgment, we respect all parties equally. We are to use righteous judgment, and we do have to make judgments concerning people all the time. But we're to use righteous judgment made according to God's law. Another one that we are to respect, which sounds a little bit strange, is Satan. We have to respect Satan because he is a very powerful person. He has power. He's sneaky. He's conniving, persuasive, tempting, alluring, tricky. He's a master of disguise and deception. And he is able to get us to do things that we really don't want to do, but we end up doing them anyway because of his ploys. So we have to respect that power, that ability that he has, because if we don't respect it, then we start falling prey to it. That means we do not respect actions that are contrary to God's will. We are not to respect false teaching. And oh, by the way, alternate lifestyles fall under the category of actions that are contrary to God's will. And then lastly, we are to respect the recompense of the reward. Just as Moses rejected the pleasures of Egypt, we are to reject the pleasures of this world for the promised payment of that reward. Love. Definition: intense concern for another, intense affectionate concern for another, strong fondness for something, desire enthusiastically, like, delight in. You know, all these definitions, you know, they cover a tremendous range of things. In the Greek language, you know, they had several different words for love to cover different things. But we've spread it out even farther. I mean, you know, we use love for anywhere from like to the intense emotion of love. So, you know, we talk about, you know, I love hot dogs, or I love fishing, or, you know, I love that man's music, or, you know, all of these things. It may just mean that we like it. It may not mean that we have this intense, affectionate concern for it. But now, some examples about love. Number one, love God. Deuteronomy 6:5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Joshua 23:11, take heed unto yourselves that you love the Lord your God. Matthew 27:37-39, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. 1 Corinthians 16:22, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. That means one of the ideas of that is let him be accursed and devoted to destruction. James 1:12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Well, we're to love God. Now, consider God's love. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. Proverbs 3:12, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. You know, the idea is, you know, how does he correct us? Well, you know, we read the Bible. It tells us what is right, what is wrong. So we have to go by that. And that's his way of correcting us. You know, we have to help each other. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 8:35-39, Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which in Christ Jesus our Lord. None of those things can separate us from the love of God. There is only one thing that can separate us from the love of God, and that's ourselves. Remember that. 1 John 4:10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Next, we have family love. Started off in the beginning. Genesis 2:24, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Genesis 24:67, and Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Genesis 25:28 talks about Isaac's love of Esau and Rebekah's love of Jacob. Genesis 37:3 talks about Jacob's or Israel's love of Joseph. It says, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. Proverbs 13:24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. You know, the institution of marriage is such a great thing. You know, it's such a great thing that it's used in comparison to Christ and the church. Ephesians 5:28-33, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. He goes on to say, this is a great mystery. You know, he was a single man. He says, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Titus 2:4 is talking about older women. You know, older women, you know, mothers, grandmothers, maybe great-grandmothers, aunts, maybe just older ladies in the church, sisters in Christ, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Next, we see that we're to have love of others, not just of our family, but others. Leviticus 19:18 says, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Remember, the first great commandment was love the Lord your God, and the second one was like to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Luke 6:35, but love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. John 13:34-35, Jesus speaking, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. 1 Thessalonians 3:12, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another, and toward all men, even as we do toward you. 1 Peter 1:12-13, 22-23. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth of the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. We also see love of things. Ecclesiastes 5:10, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also a vanity. How many times have we seen that? A person starts making some money, and he wants to make some more. It seems like, you know, they get to the point that they can never get enough. It's not satisfying. They can't be satisfied. It's the love of things. Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon, worldly things. Mark 12:38, and he said unto him in his doctrine, beware of the scribes which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplaces. Me, me, look at me. See what I have done. See how good I am. How many times have we seen people doing that? You know, they don't go out there and say that, but that's what it amounts to. How often do we see someone who makes a large contribution to some charity, and they hold a big news conference and make a big show and out of making the presentation of that check? And we're told that, you know, if we receive our reward or congratulations and such here, then we shouldn't expect anything further from God, because we've gotten our reward already. Romans 12:9, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Now, we've talked about love, gave the definition from the dictionary. And some people say, yeah, but does the Bible actually describe or tell us what love is? Well, yeah, it does. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7, it gives a description of love. If you want that Bible description, that's all you got to do is go to 1 Corinthians 13. Now, the third step in the progression is honor. Definition for that is esteem, respect. And you'll notice, you know, respect is being used as a definition for honor. Just about all three of these things have overlap with each other and are sometimes used interchangeably with each other. But respect, reverence, reputation, good name, credit, glory, fame, distinction. We're to, number one, honor our parents. Exodus 20:12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. First commandment ever given with a promise attached. Matthew 15:4. For God commanded, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father and mother, let him die the death. Sounds pretty severe, doesn't it? But that shows how important honoring our parents is. And dying the death, that was being kicked out of the city or the camp and being stoned. Not only was it severe, but it was could be very painful. Not something you want to go through. We are to honor the elderly. Leviticus 19:32. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. I am the Lord. You know, honor the elderly. You know, they've been around for a while. They've had a lot of experience. they've seen and things and experienced things that many of us younger folks haven't. Except that I'm not feeling so young anymore. But but anyway, but you know, so we should respect to them, look to them for guidance, for help in things. You know, they can often give us advice, help us out with problems. We're to honor the Lord. 1 Samuel 2 and 30. And by the way, not when I say the Lord, I'm including God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Because if you honor one of them, you're honoring all of them. And if you dishonor one of them, you're dishonoring all of them. The Lord said, "Be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." Psalm 66, verses 1 and 2. "Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye land. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious." That's something I like doing too. Singing forth those praises. I enjoy that first song. Psalm 71 and 8. "Let my song be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day." Psalm 96, 6. "Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary." Psalm 104, 1. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God. Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty." Proverbs 3, 9. "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase." John 5, 22, 23. "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which sent him." 1 Timothy 1:17, "Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." 2 Peter 1:17, speaking of Christ, "For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Revelation 19 and 7, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready." This is talking about the last days, or the last day. Christ, the Lamb, the church, his wife. The church has made itself ready. He has come back to take possession and present it to the Lord, to God. Well, what should men honor? Well, first of all, they should honor people of authority or rulers. We talked about that some already, you know, about with regard to respect. Romans 13, 6 and 7, "For this cause pay you tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." 1 Timothy 5:17. "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine." Do you realize that elders that rule well are the only ones mentioned that should be receive double honor? They're the only ones mentioned. Everybody else receives honor, but the elders that rule well deserve and should receive double honor. 1 Timothy 6 and 1. "Let us as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed." You know, it talks about servants and masters, but I like to substitute a couple of words, as in workers and bosses. Because it is so applicable to our situations today. I work in a factory, and those people who are in authority, the owners on up the line, they have those titles, they have those positions, and as such, they deserve the respect of those positions. And if we don't work to the best of our ability, then we are not honoring them. And as such, we're not only not honoring them, we're not honoring God. 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. That your prayers be not hindered. In other words, if there's a lack of honor in a marriage, that's going to result in less effective prayers. So to have the most effective prayers we can have, we have to maintain that honor in our marriages. 1 Peter 2:17, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. 2 Corinthians 12:26 tells us that if one of our members is honored, we should all rejoice with that member. Now, who does God honor? 1 Samuel 2:30 says, them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. We read that verse earlier. Proverbs 15:33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. That means we can't be proud, puffed up. We have to humble ourselves before we can expect any honor from God. Romans 2, verses 6 and 7, the Lord renders eternal life to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality. This is, that once again, that recompense of reward that we talked about earlier. 2 Timothy 2:20-21, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, what is the ones he's to purge himself is those vessels to dishonor. If he purges himself from those, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Jesus is to be honored. Hebrews 2:9. But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Hebrews 3:1-3. Wherefore, holy brethren, protectors of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. But we also have false honor. Isaiah 29:13. Wherefore the Lord said, forasmuch as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me. And it talked about again in Matthew 15:7-9. Now Jesus talks about it. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Well, that's pretty much all I've got to say about these things. I think that's enough. Just an overview of what this lectureship is about. And most of these things that we've talked about, the speakers later in the lectureship is going to be going into pretty much all of them in depth. And seeing with this, instead of ending up on a low note about false honor, rather let us dedicate ourselves to the respect, to the love, and to the honor that brings glory to God. Thank you.